Goes by too quickly here in the music, but you know what? There's a table out there that Bruce has some CDs, and so you know what to do, right? Take some more music home with you. Oh, empty nest. Yes, I remember. And then all of a sudden I was reminded not long ago, you know, when Katie and her family joined us for 9 more months. Oh, boy. It is good, though. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good seeing you this morning. How's everybody? Greg, it's so good to see you. My goodness, when Greg left church last week, he was hurting in the worst way, and actually went into the hospital. Was it Monday night? Sunday night. Yeah. Whew. And here you are. What are you made of, man? I mean, I'm a wimp, man. They just worked on my knee and I was gone for a month. Praise the Lord, man. Anybody need a Bible this morning? I thought we were going to have to go into Timothy for a while when I saw my wife walk up here. I thought she was going to usurp my authority up here or something. I don't know what was going on, man. I saw her walk up. She didn't even tell me. Oh, man. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. We're going to finish that phrase that we find in verse... Let's just read this as we get started this morning. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Let's read it together out loud. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. God has given us free will. We're not just little programmed robots in this world, you know, and all, but we were created with free moral agency. That is, we were created to be able to make life choices and decisions for ourselves, and this is where this petition becomes so vital to us. And why is that? Well, because the decisions that we make in life will have undoubtedly consequences. Sometimes they're insignificant, and the consequences really are of no major concern, but at other times they are of great significance. And that's what this petition here is all about, those choices that affect our walk of faith and our trust in the Lord when we make decisions that will result in choosing between my way and His way. It's in these moments, more often than not, there's an outside influence that is whispering in our ear, don't bother God with that. Yeah, He's too busy for something so insignificant. You don't have to go to God with that. It's not such a big deal. Well, I want to tell you what the truth is. Probably it's a bigger deal than we might have imagined. And there's an enemy of our faith out there who is presenting another plan, if you will. See, God has a plan for your life, but the enemy of our faith has a plan also. And His plan is to have us do everything we can to compromise and undermine the work of Jesus Christ in our life. It's just like it was in the garden. You remember what happened to Eve in the garden? You know, and the enemy came and said, did God really say that? And she got it all confused because, yeah, He really said that. And don't even touch that tree over there, you know. She added a little bit to it because she couldn't remember all that God said or she wanted to add. But that's how it is today. The enemy is there and he's there to whisper in us in our ear to get us to go a different direction than having the Lord set before us always and following His way, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father but by me. And so the believer should never get caught off guard. When one is born again through faith in Jesus Christ, by His grace we have been given His Holy Spirit, who we're told in John chapter 16, verse 13, will guide us into all truth. He will guide us into all truth. That is, He's there for our protection, if you will. He's watching over us when we're facing temptations that would cause us to compromise our walk of faith. And so we see in this model prayer that Jesus is outlining and making provision, he's making, showing that God has made provision for every single need that the believer has. And so he wants us to make sure that our focus is upon God. That we, as David said, have set the Lord always before us, therefore we will not be moved. Now this prayer assures us that the believer has hope. Hope in every one of the challenging moments in this life. Hope that is based upon the Word of God, not based upon feelings and emotions that will cause us to go astray, but based upon the Word of God, based upon fact. And so often in the midst of the chaos of this world as believers, we get challenged and we get our eyes off of God and we start to make decisions just haphazardly without really thinking it through and thinking, what has God spoken to my heart? And so, I don't know about you, but I can't even imagine going through this life without knowing that the Good Shepherd is watching over me. I don't know how you feel about that, but you should feel great about it, knowing that there is someone, your Creator and your Maker, who is watching over you as the Good Shepherd. And so we can go through this world with confidence. This prayer is to make sure that our focus is upon the person of our hope, Jesus Christ, so we don't succumb in that moment of temptation that would lead us astray. This model prayer was given by Jesus to his disciples to show the components of true prayer as we approach the throne of grace. Now let's remind ourselves, because he's given us guidelines, and these guidelines are for our everyday life, every single moment of life. And so we want to remind ourselves of what we just read there in Matthew chapter 6, which is so commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but we know that it's really the disciples' prayer because the Lord Jesus really had he had no sin, so he couldn't have prayed, forgive us our sin, you know. So it's really the disciples' prayer. It's for you and me. And so as we remind ourselves, and by the way, each one of these individual messages are available out at the table, or they're also available online if you haven't been with us for all of these messages. But first of all, we not acknowledge and we embrace the person of God. He is a living being, and so we acknowledge our Father, which art in heaven. And in doing so, we acknowledge that he is holy, and so we give him praise and we give him honor. Hallowed be your name. And then we're taught, in the whole scope of life, God has a plan. He has a plan for all of creation, and he has a plan for your life and my life. And so we pray, this is his plan, that his kingdom come upon this earth. Thy will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're also taught to acknowledge that we have total dependence upon him for our every need of daily life. And so we ask for his provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We know Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. Can I have a Pentecostal amen? Okay. He will supply all, not some. He will supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. Then we also ask for his pardon. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. And this is so basic to our new life in Christ. It reveals the heart of God and the forgiveness that he has shown and bestowed upon us. But it also shows us that we are to forgive others in the same manner as he has forgiven us. And this brings us to the petition that we started last time, is provision for protection. We need protection. It's dangerous out there. It's dangerous, you know, and we need all the protection. I don't know about you, but I need all the protection that I can get on this journey we call life here on earth as we're being prepared for heaven. And so, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, we looked at the first part of this. Do not deliver us into temptation. In the first part of this, we found that temptation has in its meaning test and trial, but also it has in its meaning that these tests are not to break us. They're not to trip us up. They're not to lead us astray. What these tests and these trials are to strengthen us in regard to our faith and our trust in God. When we're faced with trials, they're really there that we can prove to ourselves our faith in God and our trustworthiness to Him, that we trust Him. So temptations are designed to build up inward character and make us more Christ-like as we go through this life and prove our profession of faith. Now, many times they will come as a measuring stick for us to see just how we will react, those trials and those temptations that come. Will we stand against the way of the world and the prince and the God of this age? Or will we resist them in the power of the Holy Spirit? We will experience trials. Amen? You know that, don't you? You're going to be tested. There's going to be trials. And with the trials comes temptation. Am I going to follow you, Lord? Am I going to obey you? Am I going to surrender to you and allow you to get me through this trial and this, you know, or am I going to be tempted to go another way? To go my way? We need to remember that our victory is summed up in one little proverb. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You know it, don't you? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. And what? He will direct your path. There's where our victory lies. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. It gets me in a mess of trouble. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He'll direct your path. So this is where our victory lies, and so we pray, lead us not into temptation. God will never do that. He's not going to do that. But when we do find ourselves in the middle of being led astray, we ask, deliver us from the evil one. What is this petition saying to us? Well, I believe that this petition is saying to us, Lord, don't allow me, please, to be tested beyond the strength of my faith to resist the temptation that I'm faced with. That I would trust you through whatever it is, whatever you have allowed to come into my life. Deliver me from the evil one and his lies of deception. Where he would tell me, you're not there for me. We know he is, don't we? We know that he is there, that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. This is what Satan would have us believe, though, that he's not going to be there for us, that we're on our own out there, and he'll say, good luck. But I want to tell you something, we don't believe in luck, do we? Ours is a walk of faith. And so we believe in faith that the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me is going with me every step of the way. But we must believe and trust that we must believe and trust our Lord, that God is there for us. And we can't be looking at the circumstances that would cause us to doubt his faithfulness to the word that he has given to us, but that we would be looking unto Jesus always, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And this is a very significant point that can't be overlooked or ignored when we're looking at this particular petition here. When we, believers, find ourselves in the midst of temptation, are we going to trust the Lord? When we find ourselves in the midst of trial, are we going to trust Him, what we have read in the living Word, applied to our hearts? Are we going to trust Him that He will see us through the darkest, the darkest hour of temptation, David wrote, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," what darker hour maybe is there in our lives? But he says, "Yeah, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." In Hebrews, he tells us that he will never leave us, never, never, never forsake us. So we have to trust him that no matter what he has allowed to come into our lives, he's going there with us and he's going to get us through it. He's watching over us as the good shepherd, and he will give us everything we need. He'll give us faith. He'll give us courage. He'll give us perseverance, and he'll give us hope when we're standing at that dark place of doubt. Do you believe that? I hope so. Now listen to this. This is the living word ministered to us through the Apostle Peter. Because this, I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is God's promise to you and me who have put our hope and our trust in the Lord. In the very first part of this verse. Remember, I've told you that Peter is talking to some people that they're going through the trial of their life. I mean, we'll talk about this in just a minute here. But I want you to just look at the very first part of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and look what it says. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows. So when we're faced with a trial, there's your promise. The Lord knows how to deliver us out of temptation. Am I going to go this way? Am I going to go that way? Well, Lord, I want to follow you. Who is the way, the truth, and the life? He knows how to deliver us. He will show something to us. He will put something in our heart. He will speak to our heart with that still small voice so that we know that it's him. Because I have a way of deceiving myself with another still small voice. And there's another one out there that would like to lead me. He doesn't usually speak in a still small voice, though. I mean, he whispers, it's kind of loud, and it's kind of ugly, and it kind of gives me chills and all that. But you know, when the Lord speaks to us, he speaks with a peace that gives all that passes all understanding. And so that we know that still small voice. The Lord, jot that down. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9a. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So what's Peter saying here? I believe that he's saying that the Lord will do two things. Number one, he will give us the strength to endure the temptation, the trial, and the test of our faith. And he will see to it that we come through it victoriously in His strength. Not our strength. In His strength. Remember the lesson from Wednesday night? Those of you who were here, we talked about Gideon. Pastor Cody talked about Gideon. And you remember, Gideon was a pretty fearful guy to begin with, but the Lord told him he was going to deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites. Now the Midianites, they would always come down and they would harass the people all during the harvest and this and that and the other. And they were so afraid. But the Lord called upon Gideon and said, you're going to deliver. Now, you got to remember, there's 135,000, I think it was, Midianites over here. And the Lord said, I want you to get an army. And so he put together a real big army, you know, and he had about 32,000 people. And the next thing you know, the Lord said, that's too many. And so he cut that down to 10,000. He said, no, that's too many. And remember, he got it down to 300. Now, here you got 135,000 over here, and you got 300 people over here. And so we know that this is for one reason and one reason only. So Gideon can't take the glory. This is all the defeat of the Midianites is going to be totally and completely from the Lord. And he's the one that's going to get the glory. And so, we have to trust him that he knows. Because I'm sure that Gideon was tempted. Lord, I'm going to back out of this. This does not look good. You know, I'm going to back out of this. But he didn't. He trusted him. He believed him. And so, what that temptation may have been in Gideon's life, I'm not saying that I know that for a fact, but I'm sure that he had the willies. Do you know what the willies are? The willies are when you're scared. I mean, really scared. And your hair standing up on the back of the neck. I'm sure that you know he was frightened at this time. But I believe when we know that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, I believe that takes a little pressure off of us. because I'm going to put it right back in His hands. All right, Lord, this is the promise that You've made to me, and I'm going to trust You. I'm not going to compromise here. I'm going to make a stand on the promise that You've given me. I'm going to hold on to that promise. And then let the enemy take it up with You, because the Lord knows how to deliver us out of temptation. Are you faced with any trial today that's causing, you know, that you're tempted to go one way or the other? Is there a temptation to take that you have now to take matters into your own hands? Have you thought something through? Have you been toying with something, going over it in your mind? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? What is it that I should do? The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And there's only one way to go, right? There's only one way to go. Which way is that? To follow the Lord. To follow the Lord. You remember what David said when he, in that moment, when he was confronted with this 9-foot giant? You know, he started out there, but he said, "The battle is the Lord's." Amen? So our battle is the Lord's. 1 Samuel 17:47. We need to echo the words of David as he bore witness to the children of Israel who were cowering back there. You know, and here David goes out to fight with this big guy, you know, this big guy. Well, just like He got David through whatever trial he may have been going through and temptation, He will get us through the same trial. God will get you through the trial and the temptation as well. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Now, when we read the stories of the Old Testament, such as Gideon, such as David, and you got to remember Psalm 16 where he says, "I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be moved." We have to remember these verses. They're powerful for us. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, though, because these stories that we read in the Old Testament, Paul tells us are there for a purpose. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Quickly going to check my math, make sure that that's right. Oh, what does that say? It says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope." So when we read those stories and we hear the battle is the Lord's, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own, we know that those things were written because these guys were going through the same things. Maybe in a little different way, but they were going through the same trials, the same tests. They had the same, you know, the same fears that we have. But they trusted the Lord and they could write that word of hope. Going back to Peter for a minute, it's important to note when he wrote his letters that the churches were going through incredible persecution. They were being persecuted for their faith. In some ways, they may have been being tested more so than we could ever even imagine, because their faith was a matter of life and death. It was a challenge to them if they believed in Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to belittle anything that you may be going through or any testing or temptation that you may be experiencing. But the folks that Peter was writing to were in the trial of their faith, and it was life and death simply because they were believers. And I have to believe that they were tempted as to whether God was real. And was He really there for them at this time? Peter was encouraging them. He said, as long as I'm in this tent, as long as I'm in this human body, I'm going to tell you things that you already know so that your faith can be built up. But I'm sure that there were those out there that were wondering, what have I done? But this is faith in action, taking God at His word and believing and trusting Him when everything seems to say something differently. At the time, Rome was ruthlessly persecuting Christians. You know, I never imagined in my wildest dreams, or nightmare if you will, that in my lifetime that I would sense the danger that Christians are in today. persecution that we're facing for our faith. Maybe I was naive, or maybe, you know, just not thinking about that. But here we are. Here we are today. Now, in this country, it's different than maybe outside the world. I just want to read you something here. First of all, what is Christian persecution? Christian persecution is any hostility experienced from the world as a result of one's identification as a Christian. From verbal harassment to hostile feelings, attitudes, and actions, Christians in areas with severe religious restrictions pay a heavy price for their faith. Beatings, physical torture, confinement, isolation, rape, severe punishment, imprisonment, slavery, discrimination in education and employment, and even death are just a few examples of the persecution they experience on a daily basis. According to Pew Research Center, over 75% of the world's population lives in areas where severe religious restrictions, and many of these people are Christians. Also, according to the United States Department of State, Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from their government or surrounding neighbors simply because of their belief in Jesus Christ. A report in Open Doors USA said that they're a watchdog group. They identified that 2016, the worst year for Christian persecution around the world. That was just last year. The worst year for Christian persecution. Christians throughout the world continue to risk imprisonment, loss of home, assets, torture, beheadings, rapes, and even death as a result of their faith, the report stated. And there's another report from the Center of Studies on New Religions. It's an Italian-based resource. It said 90,000 Christians were killed for their beliefs worldwide last year. Now, that's how it's happening around the world. In the United States, maybe it's really not, it's not so much that our lives are at stake, but our livelihoods. As we have seen, you know, with the baker. And most of the time, it's interesting that this is coming from social pressure, from particularly one group of people that are pressuring, you know, people that made the wedding cakes, and the one guy would not make a wedding cake for a homosexual wedding, and this is the kind of persecution that we're really facing in the United States here. But it's costing some their livelihood. This one guy here in Denver, Jack Phillips, it says it cost him up to 46% of his business revenue. And so these things are going on, persecution in our lives. So we're approaching a time right now in the history of the United States and of the world. It's going to put pressure on you and I because of our faith. And we can see this. We can see how the world today is turning away and moving away from Christians and the Christian faith, and they are embracing another world religion. And this is really crazy, because this religion is persecuting Christians around the world. It's called Islam. And it's interesting, as I pointed out last week, there is a religion that is called to be a Christian religion that is actually promoting that there is no difference between Allah, the moon god of Allah, and Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of the Bible. And that comes from a little hill outside of Rome, where that is being promoted today. They don't believe there's any difference. They believe that everybody's on the same way, going the same way. You know, why did the Apostle Paul write to the churches of Galatia? Those that he had gone to, those that he had ministered to, and he saw them being tempted. He saw them being torn. He saw them, you know, because of the pressure from the world to just accept and to believe, you know, what the world says rather than what they were being taught at that particular time by him. And I guarantee you, it was harder at that time because they didn't have this book that we have today. That's why it makes it so much, I don't want to say easier, because I know the walk of faith can be very difficult at times. But I want to tell you that they didn't have this, but Paul had taught them. And then in Galatians chapter 1, 6, 8, when he saw them, you know, giving in to different kinds of temptation and persecution that they were receiving, that the hands of the people, Judaizers there in the region he was talking to, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now take to note that, because he goes right on in the next verse to say, which is not another. What's he saying there? Another what? It's not another gospel. There's only one good news. And that good news is that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And so Paul said, you know, that's not another. And he said, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. But here, you see how I'm saying that it's been happening from the very beginning, where people have been torn, you know, from what they have heard. And then all of a sudden, because ours is a walk of faith. You know, it's just like Mary that wanted to cling to Jesus after his resurrection. He said, don't touch me. He'd already told Thomas to go ahead, touch me. But he told Mary, don't. What was he doing there? He was saying, you have to get used to another walk with me. I'm not going to be walking with you like I have been for the last 3 years, where you could just come to me and cling to me and hold on. But you have to have, you're going to have another relationship with me, and that's going to be through the Holy Spirit that I'm going to send and I'm going to give to you. And so yours is going to be a little different than it has been. And that's why he said, don't cling to me, Mary. Don't cling to me. And this is the same walk that we have today. It's a walk of faith. I put my faith and my trust in the Lord. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 9, because Peter, he really goes over this, and he really says this, and he really tells exactly what I'm trying to share with you right now. And we need to take it to heart, because we are in the world, but we're not of it, and we too could very well find ourselves persecuted for righteousness' sake when called upon to make or to take a stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, to this particular group of people that are really facing a tough time. And he's talking to them now about the walk of faith. He's talking to them about their walk of faith. And he says in verse 5, to you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You see, the people that Peter was talking to, they go through the same things that we're going through. And it's that thing, it's the walk of faith. I've put my hope, I've put my trust. You know, somebody said, you know, I believe that Jesus is going to get me to heaven when I cross that line into eternity, but it's that little dash on the gravestone that I'm having trouble with. You know, getting from this date to that date. It's that little dash, the all in between. Because it's our walk of faith. Trusting Jesus every step of the way. Trusting our life with him. Trusting our livelihood with him. Trusting everything about our life. Our faith has to reach beyond the circumstances of life, though. The tests and the trials and the temptations are real, even as your adversary and mine is real. But don't forget for one minute who's on your side. Who's on your side? Jesus is on your side. God's on your side. the God of all creation. Yes, He is real. Now hear me, because many times the trials and the temptations that come our way have the potential to cause even the strongest believer, mature in their faith, to question. And that's what this petition here that the Lord gave in this prayer really boils down to. Deliver me from the evil one, his lies, his deception, his deceit, that he would try to cross me up and get me to believe a lie rather than the love of the truth. We've got to humble ourselves and call upon the name of the Lord who is faithful to his word, because he'll be there to reassure us. I'm with you. You know that? When we're walking sometimes in that dark hour, you know, can't you, you just know he's there. And he's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us stumble. Even as he promised the disciples who were in the boat out in the out on the Sea of Galilee when the storm came up, and you know, they were panicking, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith, didn't I say I'll get you to the over to the other side?" He's going to get us where he wants us to go, where we hope to go, where we believe that we're going, because we have put our trust in him. Hebrews 13:5 said he will never leave us or forsake us. He will be always there to strengthen you, to give you courage, and to give you hope along the way, and he'll see us through whatever it is we need to get through. But don't ever think that you're strong enough to take the evil one on in your own strength. I've seen many Christians just get caught up in that. And they do it in a moment of haste. And Satan loves to get the wayward Christian off to the side, believing that way. That we can take him on. We can take the enemy. No, I want Jesus to be in between me and the enemy all the time. Satan wants to make our life miserable. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to be defeated. And one of the ways that he does that is getting the believer to take him on in the midst of trial and temptation in our own strength. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." But there's the enemy wanting to steal and to kill. He's the one who came to rob the believer of the joy of our salvation. Do you know any believers who are so discouraged today that you just look at them and you just see that they have lost that joy? That joy when they first believed. And you know, what do we do at that point in time? We should be praying for them. We should come alongside them. We should remind them that God is faithful. That God is faithful. But the enemy wants to bury us under the circumstances of life. How could this happen to me? How could God let this happen? Oh my. Oh my. At that point in time, Satan will go after your inner peace. He'll go after your inner peace that's been shaken by that trial, and he'll be there to rob you. We see the effects of the evil one all around us. When we see it happening to a believer that we know, please, first of all, get on your knees and pray for them. And second of all, you know, if you know them well enough, come alongside. Come alongside them. You know they love the Lord, but you know they're going through a tough time right now. They're going through a difficult time right now. They're going through the trial of their faith that Peter talked about, that we just read about. And they need someone to just come along and just remind and point them back in the direction of the one who loved them and gave himself for them. Though Satan wants to rob us of our joy, listen to what the prophet Jeremiah wrote. And let me tell you what, there was a tough time that he was going through when he was writing his prophecy. 40 years and no one responded. Here comes, you know, the army. And he said, happy is the man whose hope is in the Lord. Huh? Jeremiah 17:7. Jot that down. Happy is the man whose hope is in the Lord. And then the psalmist, I've talked about this in Psalm 16. You know, David, I set the Lord always before me. But he goes on to say, in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11b, I'll call that. Please write that down. And then remind yourself of it. Put it on your refrigerator. Just jot it down and get a little magnet and stick it on your refrigerator. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What are we saying here? We're saying we've got to keep our eyes upon the Lord. We have to be focused upon Him and our Father which art in heaven. Upon our Father and His Son. Jesus is the object of our faith. He's our stability in this shaky world of chaos. And He's the hope that we have throughout this journey we call life. He is the one who has defeated our enemy. Isaiah wrote in chapter 59:19, he said, when the enemy would come in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Eyes on the Lord, walking with the Lord. Because why? Satan is a defeated foe, Colossians chapter 2. And we must remember this when temptation comes our way. Though the enemy would, he's relentless, and you probably know that, don't you? He's relentless, and he'll keep after us. He wanted to sift Peter like wheat, remember? The enemy wants to sift you like wheat. Well, he probably wants to sift us like wheat too. But remember, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the enemy. God is, He's the omnipotent one. And please, don't ever forget this. Satan is not God's opposite. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipotent. He is not omnipresent. He is a created being. He is not God's opposite. Our God is the all-powerful and one and only true God. Amen. Amen. So we're taught here in this model prayer to be reminded of these things. This was put out as an outline when we're in trouble. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's a petition that we bring before our Lord. And so here in this model prayer, these things are things to remind us and for us to remind our brothers and sisters of the same things, reminding us that our victory is in our Lord, who is ever. I love Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He is there always, ever, making intercession for you and me. Does that give you confidence? Does that give you comfort? Does that give you what you need, you know, in the moment of testing and trial? He is always there making intercession for you and for me. I mean, that is just beautiful, beautiful. And He's there to build us up and to strengthen us in our faith. James would encourage his readers. Again, here's what it all boils down to. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and guess what? He'll flee. He will flee from you. Maybe sing a song. Sing a worship song. Oh, the enemy will go. Maybe the Lord has told you to do that when, you know, in the midst of, you know, deliver us from the evil one. Start singing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and just sing a song. He'll leave. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Many believers have not learned this, though, in their Christian walk. That's sad to say. And today, the way the gospel and the message of the gospel and the word of God is being presented, and I have to quit here today. But many times, you know, you go to church and you know what? This book is meaningless in some of the quote-unquote Christian churches because we're drifting away to the point where we'll be gone, but the church of Laodicea, where Jesus is knocking on the door of that church saying, hey, can I come in? Because he's getting closed out of churches today. Churches that profess to be Christian churches and Christian denominations. He's being slowly but surely just pushed out of the way. Whew. So Peter said, I won't neglect to remind you always of the things that you already know and are established in this present truth. Things you already know. That our victory is found in Jesus Christ and our walk with the Lord, trusting Him with a childlike faith. Victory comes when this prayer is taken to heart because we know Father knows best. Our Father knows what we need before we ever even ask. And His only begotten Son has taught us to pray this prayer. He knows the temptations of this life are very real and we need to be strengthened. We're being tested for our faith. It's a powerful prayer. So, you know, there's going to be real life crises. We need to close here, though. You know, there may be some who are listening this morning on the internet. Maybe some who have joined us today. You know, there's temptations that are challenging each one of us today. And if someone has never come to that place of faith in Jesus Christ, there's one that's whispering kind of brashly in your ear, don't believe a word that the pastor is saying. You can take that as hogwash. I'll tell you what, it's real. God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but would ever have everlasting life. But you know, when you're faced with that challenge, sometimes it's very hard. Because you know what? It is humbling. Do you think it was not humbling for Jesus to go to the cross? Who died for us upon the cross? And I guess my only thought today is if I can't live for Him today, because people say, oh, I'll die later for Him. I know that He'll, you know. No, if you can't live for Him today, how are you going to die for Him later? Because if you find yourself in the middle of that 7-year period called the tribulation, that's how one will come to know Christ. By being beheaded, by laying their life down, by dying. And so today, Jesus says, my arms are wide open to you. They're wide open to receive you today. But you must humble yourself. You must set all this other stuff, unhook the U-Haul truck, you know, and come to me. In humility, and commit your life to me as I have committed my life to you. And guess what? I'll start to work on that mansion right away. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so if there's any listening today, there's one out there. I'm telling you, there's one out there who is whispering in your ear that this book, there's... And that's what's a shame is that there's so many Christian churches and even those that we would think would speak for the Christian church are saying, yep, there's many ways. No, there's one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And so He said, repent and believe the gospel, the good news. And so if you've never opened your heart to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, His arms are outstretched today to receive you. His arms are outstretched. And I don't know if there's someone in this sanctuary or if you're listening on the internet. But let's pray a prayer right now. And if you pray this prayer and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there'll be someone right up here on your right and my left to talk to you this morning about the decision that you made. And if you pray this prayer listening on the internet, then you get in touch with me and we'll get you plugged into a church and someone that can talk to you. Father, we thank You so much for what You have done for us, Lord. All that You've done, all that You're doing, and all that You will yet do. We thank You, Lord God, that You have provided for us, for our every need, even as this prayer reminds us of, Lord. And for our protection. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's anyone today who has never... Let me start with believers. If there are believers today, Lord, who are listening, who are struggling in the middle of a test or a trial and they're being tempted, Lord, I pray that you, God, would intervene and they would remember, God, that you are there for them and the enemy has no power to take them another step further along the way of their doubt or their discouragement. But Lord, that you are there for them. God, I pray for every believer this morning, God, that they would know that and they would not forget that and they would be reminded of it on a daily basis, Lord, because they are in your word. But Father, maybe there are some who are listening today or who are here with us today who have never opened their heart to receive you, Jesus, as their personal Lord and Savior. That this whole concept of being a living being and that our God in heaven is a living God that loves us so much that he would give his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. But there are some things that we must do in coming to the cross, in coming to open our heart to the new life that Jesus offers through faith in him. And that's we must confess our sins, that we are a sinner who needs a Savior, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and invite him personally into our hearts. If you've never done that, and it's something that you are being moved to do right now, pray this prayer with me as we close the service today. Dear God, wow. Whew, I don't know what's going on in my life right now, but something is definitely changing. And I know that I can't go on in the same direction in which I was going. I've kind of put the brakes on here right now because I realize that the direction that I was going was in fact away from you. And I want to change that course and come to you. And in doing so, I humble myself before you today. And I ask for forgiveness of my sins. I believe that Jesus, when he went to Calvary 2,000 years ago, I believe it was for me. That his blood that was shed upon the cross was for me. And I humble myself before you today. And thank you, Jesus, for waiting for me to make this decision in my life. I want to serve you now. I want my life to count for you. Thank you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for waiting for me. Use me to your glory for the rest of my earthly days. I humble myself before you. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift that I receive today of salvation. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. If you or any here prayed that prayer, just come up over to this side here. Any out there, write to me. You know how to get in touch with me. Wednesday night, Pastor Kevin will be back in 1 John. Amen? Amen. So we'll see you for a nice meal to fill our tummies and then to fill our spirits. We'll be hearing from Pastor Kevin. God bless you.